Service start, I was looking at the, you know, the building, how many people will be coming to worship. I was thinking maybe this could be the, you know, the smallest congregation I ever had. I remember one time I was in, when I was in seminary, there's a small town called Moose Jaw. I went there maybe once a month to preach. It's a Chinese United Church. I think the lowest attendance at that time was less than 10 people. So I thought today maybe, I'm going to break a record again. But turn out we have 20-some people here. So it's wonderful. And I have no excuse to cancel the worship service. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Is the PowerPoint ready? And we love human nature, you know, we love to build walls. You can see that in reality, in histories, just like this wall, everybody recognizes this. This is a Great Wall of China. And it was built over 2,000 years and tried to keep out the invaders, mainly the Mongolians. And in 1961, Germany divided into two because of the World War. And then later on, they divided into two Germanys. One east side is controlled by communism, mainly Russia, Soviet Union at that time. And then the West Germany, I think, is under the NATO, so it's a free country. But Berlin was divided into two also. So they built a wall in 1961, trying to keep people running from the east to the west. And then in 1989, Reagan challenged, in those days, Gorbachev was president of the Soviet Union. So he challenged him, you take down the wall, tear down this wall. It was in 1989. And then in 1990, this is happening. The wall between Berlin, divided Berlin, actually came down. It was just a history. Maybe some of you have not been born yet, right? 1990. But we watched TV. We saw this is just unbelievable. Eventually, it did happen. And then two Germanys became one. The wall was down. As a result, after 20-some years, now Germany is one of the most powerful nations in Europe. I think everybody agrees with that. And you see divine these two Germanys. It became two. It was not good. But it became one again. It became a successful, powerful nation in Europe. And it speaks volumes in these days, Germany. So we build walls too. You still look at the church, we always say, oh, let's go out to the wall of the church. So we talk about walls all the time. So these, we have walls here too, to keep us quiet, you know, separate from all this noise and air conditioning so that we will feel comfortable. So some walls are necessary. You know, you go to the washroom, you do want some walls, right? So walls sometimes are necessary. But sometimes, a lot of times, walls separate people. So today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is talking about a wall between two group of people. But as you read this in Ephesians chapter 2, you will see the whole, of course, we don't have time to read the whole chapter 2. But the whole chapter 2 gives us the background, the reasons, all these things, why this wall has to be torn down between two groups of people. If you look at verse 14 to 18, the word peace comes out quite often. And then in verse 14, Jesus is our peace. And then verse 15, he made peace. And then verse 17, he came and preached peace. So if you look at this passage, you will not miss the concept of peace. Of course, for us, when we think about peace, we think about the absence of war or conflict. You know, like today, if you watch TV, you pay attention to the news, you see there's a lot of wars going on in Europe, in Middle East, and they all talk about peace, you know, and sign a treaty. Whatever they try to do and try to get the peace coming back. And peace is very important. So when we think about peace, we think about absence of conflict or war. But the word itself, I think you might have heard it before, the word peace in both New and Old Testaments mean more than just outside, you know, the environment, you know, without war, without conflicts. He also talks about a well-being deep inside, a sense of well-being and wholeness. And this in the Bible is often referred to something comes from God, a salvation offered to from God by God to us in order to have this sense of well-being and wholeness. But to us, we talk about peace, you know, about nations. We talk about peace when we talk about, you know, between people. Do I have peace with this guy? Do I have this? And do I have this with these people? We talk about relationships. A lot of time, I think peace, no matter it's talking about nations or in our hearts, it all comes down to something related to relationships. Why are we not at peace? And you ask yourself, a lot of time it's something to do with people. I don't feel peaceful. Maybe because of, you know, there's no safety, no security. And then you talk about, actually, you come down to it, is people trying to, you know, attack you. This is all about relationship. It's all about people. So when we talk about peace here, Ephesians chapter 2, we need to see that this is something to do with relationships, not just war or conflicts that are created by nations. Well, nations are actually made by people too. So if you look at this, we will see there's some backgrounds in chapter 2 that we need to address. Because people, the theologians believe that when Paul was talking about this war between Gentiles and the Jews, he was talking about the war in the temple. If you look at the picture here, you will see this, of course, is a model of the temple. And you see walls, these walls. It's not really tall. Josephus, the historians in Jewish time, in his book, he referred this wall within the temple. This is within the temple. And then this is a Jewish court. This is a Gentile's court. So, of course, the Jews has to walk through the Gentiles' court in order to get into the Jewish court. But for Gentiles, they cannot pass those gates. And they said that there were 13 gates for people to walk through. And then there's a pillars. Maybe every other gate, there's a pillar warning the Gentiles not to cross that wall. That wall is about 4 feet, 4.5 feet tall. So it's actually it's about this tall. So you can look over, but you cannot cross the wall. And people believe that Paul was talking about this wall when he wrote this as illustrations to help people to understand when he talked about the wars between Gentiles and the Jews. And if you walk across this wall, if you are Gentiles, the punishment is death. So it's already have inscriptions warning people not to cross that wall. And if you see, even today, if you watch news, you know what is happening in the last few couple months, Gaza Strip and Israel, you know, they were fighting again. So this is real, not just in those days. In Paul's times, there's a war dividing Gentiles and the Jews. There's always a hatred between them. And even today, if you look at this, this is the real thing. The war between Gaza and the nation of Israel. They build walls, try to protect the nations. So the Palestinians, they fire the rockets instead because there's a wall they cannot cross, and they just fire the rockets and they build tunnels going to the Israel and then attack. So this is a real thing, even today. The hatreds between these two group of people. So this is real. This is not just a story about 2,000 years ago. This is real even today. We build walls to protect ourselves. We build walls to separate people. And we build walls try to calm each other down to find so-called peace between nations. And this is real even today. We build walls. But for us, we build invisible walls to protect us, to separate us from other people. Not just physical fence that you have at home. You build a fence, and then you build your door, you know, all these things try to protect us. But a lot of time, as a human being, even Christians, if we are honest with ourselves, we build many, many walls, invisible walls, to separate us from other people in order to protect us. And then, of course, this is not what God wants us to be. And it's very harmful for some walls to be built between us and other people. And Paul is talking about this wall. And he tells us that God came, Jesus comes to torn down this wall between Gentiles and the Jews. So it also applies us today. It applied to us today that we need to torn down the walls. Jesus has come, and he gave us the ability to torn down these walls. It's very much like virus. And today, if you again, if you watch news, you pay attention to the news, you see West Africa, Ebola is very powerful virus, killing a lot of people. And as far as I know, it's a virus, it's not a bacteria. And so it's very hard to heal. And nowadays, if you catch a cold, the doctor tells you, oh, you got virus. What do you do? What would he do? Basically nothing. Because there's nothing we can do to kill the virus except our immune systems. We can take Tylenol to do some jobs to fix the symptoms, but we cannot fix the root problem. So I think this is the whole idea in chapter 2. Paul is telling us that when we have wars between people, this is only symptoms, and there's a root problem that we cannot solve by ourselves, just like virus. We know it's there, we know it's attacking us, but all we could do is just fix the symptoms. We take some Tylenols, we try to rest, you know, and then doing all this, trying to help our body to fight off this virus. And medicines could not do a thing. It's a very similar idea. So when we try to talk about tear down the walls between human beings, between brothers and sisters even, I think the root problem is that we need to fix our relationship with God first. And this is the root cause. So if you look at chapter 2, the first point I want to share with you is to tear down the wall that separates you and God. I think this is the root problem, and this is the way that I think we need to solve the ultimate issues that cause so much fear, anxiety, and in our lives. When we talk about broken relationships between people, between relatives, family members, all these things. And we need to come to this root problem. The root problem in Ephesians, Paul's telling us that is the cause of sin in our lives. If you look at verse 14, you will see that for him himself is our peace. You know, Paul talks about that right away. For he himself, if you look at the verse the whole chapter 2, you will understand that he refers to Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 2, starting the verse 1, and then you keep reading, you will see how God, because of Jesus, help us to solve our ultimate problem, remove sins, and then he died on the cross because of that. All this telling us that he is the one who provides peace, ultimate peace in our hearts. And we are dead in our sins. That's what Paul was talking about. And then how Jesus came, and then he solved these problems. Sin builds walls. Brothers and sisters, you know that, because when you read chapter 3 of Genesis, you will see that after they took the fruit, you know, Adam and Eve right away saw themselves naked. And then they put clothes on, so-called. Theologians describe this as a building walls already, right away between humans. Before the sin came, there was no shame. They were naked. They didn't see any problem of that. But when sin came, people built walls right away. And then they blamed each other later on when God asked them, how come you are hiding from me? And then they blame each other. And all those are the result of sins. Sin is the ultimate cause of all these problems. And Jesus came to torn down this wall. He came so that we will be able to experience, first of all, peace with God again. And I think this is very important in our hearts, that we need to find peace. And everybody longs for some kind of peace in our hearts, right? Because a lot of time you cannot sleep, and you are crying, and you are so fearful. All these things is related to fear of something in your heart. It's most likely it's about relationships. And the root problem is that we broke this relationship, first of all, with God, so that we cause all these result symptoms that in our lives, that we cannot get along with each other, that we are so suspicious about each other, that we build walls to protect ourselves, that we won't be hurt by some other people. So sin built this wall, and Jesus said he comes to give us the opportunity to remove these walls by addressing our issues. And God took the initiative, because if you read Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 38, you will see the description of the temple. You know, there's a curtain separate the Holy of Holies, holiness, with the rest of the temple. That curtain, you know, verse 38, Mark chapter 15, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You know, it's very unusual. It's from top to bottom. This is a visual symbols that God wants us to see, that he took the initiative to torn down this wall, this curtain between man and God, so that we can access to God because of Jesus Christ. So you see, this is what happened, you know, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, that so that we can come to God through him, and we ultimately find peace with God again. And I heard one of the pastors said that, you know, what is the gospel, the ultimate gospel, the meaning of the gospel? It's not just about sin. It's not about reconciliation. It's talk about having peace with God again. Just like Genesis chapter 2, the peace exists in the garden. You know, when Adam and Eve walking around, talking to God, they were in harmony. There was no stress. There was no fear, no shame, no anxiety, talking to God. And that was just a perfect picture. And that was the time, you know, there was a peace everywhere. So, and that relationship was broken because of sin. So Paul says that Jesus came to preach peace, peace between God and ourselves. But I think we need to understand this. Because if you look at chapter 2, especially the first 10 verses, if you look at chapter 2, 10 verses, the first 10 verses, it will give you a sense that, you know, God comes to solve your problem with God, meaning that, you know, the sin problems. And then God addressed that problem between you and God. But I think it's very dangerous to think that, you know, with salvation, the gospel is just about you and God. It's not true, because if it is only you and God, then we don't have to talk about verse 11 and then keep going until verse 18. Brothers and sisters, living in North America, we have such a big problem about individualism. I think a lot of time we think Christian faith is about me and God, or God and me. No, it's not true. We only know half of it, or we only accept half of it. It's just, oh, it's between me and God, you know. It's not your business. It's not. So we don't talk to each other. We don't make each other accountable. That's why we have small group reboots. We want people to see that, you know, we can grow together. We can address this together as a group, as a body of Christ. So Paul continued to address this issue about, you know, the sin problem. Jesus came down on the cross for our sins, remove our sins so that we can have peace with God again. And then he carried on this conversation about between people, because it's not a complete picture of salvation. It's not a complete picture about peace. You cannot have peace with God and say, but I am enemy of so many people, or people are my enemies, or all this kind of thinking. And it's not true, and it's not workable for the gospel. So Paul carried on these conversations. Of course, to him in those days, a huge issue that he needs to address is the hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. It has been around for thousands of years. Of course, we know that, you know, a lot of Pharisee issues. We know the Old Testament. Both nations, North north and south were destroyed. The whole nation of Israel was destroyed because of sin, because they had relationship too close with the Gentiles, and they became sinful, and God destroyed both nations, the north and the south. And then, of course, when they came back, they said that we will have nothing to do with Gentiles anymore, so they separate themselves with the Gentiles. Of course, it was not easy. And that was the issues that Paul at that time need to address about Gentiles and the Jews. Of course, we find this application in our lives. So the second point I want to share with you is that let God tear down the wall that separate me from other people. You see, when in this passage, if you read closely, you will see that Paul did not say that the Jewish people is better. So when the Gentiles became Christians, they need to learn, they need to become just like Jews. Paul says that when Jesus came, and then he torn down this wall between Gentiles and the Jews, and then form a new man, create a new man for himself. So if you look this carefully, then you will see that the first point we really need to see how the wall can be broken down is to see that we are not perfect. None of us can say that I am the best person that everybody needs to learn from. Because he said that the Jews and the Gentiles, before God, we are all the same. We are not good enough before God. So that God said that we need to create a new man. The word create, I think you know that, is something, create something new that never exists before. Just like creation. God needs to create a new man, not try to fix an old man, the old self that we always talk about, you and me, my old self. Many religions try to address that. They try to make us a better person. But Christianity, the gospel, saying that we will be created in a new man. So this is telling us that we are not perfect individually. As a nation, as a race, there's no such thing that one race is better than the other. And I think this is a very important message that we need to send out to everybody, including ourselves. The wall that separates each one of us, sometimes it's because of our values, because of our identity. You know, I'm certain people. I'm an educated people. I'm a middle class. All these things separate us from other people. But in God's sight, everyone is the same. There's no racial differences. There's no gender differences. Everyone before God, to him, to you and me, I think we all agree that we are not good enough to say that you need to learn from me, you know, I'm the race that you need to learn from. And I think this message is very important that when we talk about tearing down the wall, we need to understand that. We need each other, not we hate each other. Or tell the other group that you need to learn from me. It's like marriage, bring two families together. Right? When we are in love, you think about, oh, I'm in love with my spouse, no, before a spouse, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. And then you think about, oh, you know, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. And then later on, if you are mature enough, you know that, you know, it's not about just your spouse. It's about her family and his family too. So a lot of people say that marriage is about two families. It's not just two persons. So if you love God, just like if you love your spouse, you will come to learn to accept your spouse's family. Before this relationship begins, you know, her family or his families had nothing to do with you. You don't have to care about them, right? But when you starting to date, then you're getting to know their families, you know, each other's family, and then when you become a couple, married, and then you have to learn to accept and even love, take care of, you know, your spouse families. It's very similar ideas, I think. When we talk about loving God, brothers and sisters, we always stop there. We say, because we believe relationship is only between God and me. So when I say God loves me, my response is to love him back. It's no problem. But I think it's more than that. I think we need to see, we need to love those God loves too. I know it's hard. That's why I want to use that marriage relationship to explain to you. It's necessary. I think it's natural to find peace, to have harmony in the family. It's to love, to expect, respect his families as well. So when we could say that we love God, James already told us that, the book of James, saying that if we do not love what we can see, our brothers and sisters, it's simply just a lie saying that you love God. I think it applies to our daily lives too. When we say that we love God, but we don't love other people, especially even within the Christian family, I'm not sure we are really, truly understand what it means to love God. I think true disciples will not just love Jesus alone. True disciples will not love Jesus and someone I naturally like, so I have no problem to love them. Even Jesus said that we need to love our enemies. Right? So you have no excuse. The other reason, I think, caused wars, and then Paul is trying to address, I think this is a huge issue here. I think this is the ultimate problem. It's the war regarding self-righteousness. We think we are better. If you look at this verse, Paul talks about breaking down the walls, and then he addresses about the law. Okay, some theologians believe this wall that Paul used is about the temple, but some theologians think that the wall that Paul was talking about actually referred to the law of the Old Testament. This is the wall separate the Jews from the Gentiles. Because of the law of the Old Testament, the Jewish people despise the Gentiles. They look at them as animals. You know, like dogs. And the Gentiles very upset with the Jewish people because they don't talk to you unless they only talk to you when they want to make money, not make friendship. You know, the Jewish people, they are very smart making money. So the only time they talk to you is about business. So to those Gentiles, Jewish peoples are very isolated. They think they are better people. And then they see them also a hypocrite because what they say, they don't do. So the Gentiles, they see Jewish people are very hypocritical, taking advantages of all other people. That's why they are so much hated by all the nations, even today. The self-righteousness is the big problem. It's a huge problem. I think Paul is talking about this war, and theologians believe this war actually is about the law that the Jewish people had. And this was the war that separated them from other people. And this was the war that Jesus came to destroy. And if you look at chapter 2, you will see that we should not think we are better. Self-righteousness, meaning that I'm always right, even though I don't say I'm always right. But in our hearts, we believe we are always right. If I'm always right, that means you must be always wrong. And I think this is what really happens in relationships. We cannot see eye to eye. We think the other people are not as good as mine, as good as me. And I think this is the major issues. I think Paul, personally, I believe this is the war that Paul was talking about, not just the temple, because for the Gentiles living outside Jerusalem, outside the promised land, if Paul was talking about the war between the temple, they had no idea. They've never been in the temple. How could they use that? How could they understand what it means? But they do see a lot of Jewish people in Roman Empire. And they do see the problem of so-called their law separate them from them, from the Jews, separate Jews from them. So when Paul was talking about the law, I think it's a whole lot easier for the Gentiles living outside Jerusalem, living in the Roman Empire, understand what it means. And this is a human pride. I think it's also the root, also the cause of all this problem, is self-righteous attitude that we have. That's why Jesus in verse 8 telling us that. If you read verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 8 and 9. Paul is telling us that salvation is not come from how good you are, how well you have done. It is by the grace of God that we all save. So he's reminding each one of us, not just the Jewish people in those days, but to us too. Major cause of separation between human beings, even brothers and sisters, is this belief, I'm better, I know better than you, I do better than you. And this caused a lot of problems. And we build these invisible walls, separate us from other people. And this is the reason why Jesus came to break down all these walls. Between brothers and sisters, between your friends and families, I think this is one of the problems that we have. Who we are and what we believe often cause a lot of problems in our lives. And Jesus reminds us that we need to respond by tearing down this wall, allowing him to come into our lives, and so that through the Spirit, you know, if you read verse 18, you will see that this is not our work again. Paul tells us that this is the work of the Spirit. Only him can help us, but we need to work with him. We need to work with him. We need to truly believe and behave when we say we love God. If you have family, I'm sure each one of us has family. We need to learn how to love our family members, your spouse's family too. That one might help you understand what it means to love God. Also, love God's people. I'm not saying it's easy. It's against our nature. But this is what God wants us to do. This is what Jesus came to fulfill, to preach the peace, and he is our peace. Without him, without the Spirit, by our human natures, we love to build walls than breaking walls. And I think it's very important for us to understand we are not perfect. As God saved any races, any genders, the background is not an important part to him. So for us, we cannot say I'm a middle class, I live in certain areas, so I don't want to relate to anybody else, that type of mentality. Or we only preach the gospel to Chinese only. That is very scary mentality to me. Yesterday, Simo was watching in TV, and then she told me, you know, look at that program, saying that, you know, God's grace like a rain, you know, what? How it goes? Blessing all Chinese people around the world. Wow, it's not right. Why Chinese only? Well, because I'm Chinese. No. Then we have a problem too. Then we will be very much like Jewish people. Jewish people believe God, salvation is only for them. God is only for them. And if we think that way, that means we are very much live out the Jewish lives in our lives. And it's not supposed to be. And that self-righteous attitude, brothers and sisters, this is a huge enemy within our hearts, within our soul. We think we are right. Even though it's not true, then you still find excuse to believe that you are right. That is very scary. Listen to what you say at home, to your spouse, especially. You will see how powerful this belief it is in our lives. Either we are criticizing our spouse, or we are criticizing others with our spouse. And these attitudes actually destroy relationships, and we do not truly understand the gospel and the love of Christ. Let's pray together.